Our second scripture reading comes from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 1 to 11. Listen now for the word of God. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, "Let Jesus be cursed." And no one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the works of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the discernment of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. Now, I must admit that one of the fun things that I miss about not being on Facebook anymore are the various personality tests that would come up, you know, and invite you to take the personality tests, or you would see that maybe one of your friends had taken one and you got to see what their results were. Well, some of these would conclude, say, for instance, that a certain state is the one you should be living in, or you should be living in a certain city, depending on your specific personality type, it would decide. Others would determine what kind of pet you should have. Others would suggest that you should be maybe in a different career than you're in. And one would say, "This is the movie star you are the most like." And it can get even more ridiculous if you keep scanning all the various tests available. And there's even a test that decides what cartoon character you are the most like. Now, this is kind of risky, but I wonder if you all might guess what cartoon character I was the most like.
Lucy.
I thought it would. I thought it would come up as Lucy in Peanuts. But instead, This shows how great these tests are. Instead, the cartoon character I'm the most like is Popeye. I guess because I like spinach. But one of the tests I thought was really pretty serious. It was more, I think, psychologically and scientifically determined, and it was called the 25-question test that will determine which type of introvert you are. And I took it because, yes, I am an introvert. The majority of pastors actually are introverts, which might surprise a lot of people. But we have to push ourselves to be social. We tend to live in our heads a lot. So if you think someday that if I'm not friendly enough or something, it might just be that I'm pondering something in my head, you know, have blinders on and don't really see what's around me, or I might have low energy that day because it takes a lot of energy to be social for an introvert. So don't take it personally. I can go inside my head and then not come out for quite a long time sometimes. And that is a characteristic of introvert. You kind of have to drag yourself out of your head to be social or even to leave your home. And once you do, though, you do enjoy people and you enjoy socializing. It just takes more energy to get started. And then when it's over, you're glad to be able to get back into your head again. But the test results I thought were kind of interesting. The results of the type of introvert, they had four different categories. The protector, which would be like a shepherd. the mastermind, which sounds evil when you think the architect, which is someone who's very strategic, and then the healer. And so I wonder what one you think I ended up being.
Healer.
Oh, I thought somebody would say mastermind. Yes, it was the healer. They define the healers as true idealists, always looking for a hint of good, even in the worst of people or the worst of events, searching for ways to make things better. While they may be perceived as calm and reserved, healers have an inner flame that can be harnessed. The healer introvert type is a shaman in her tribe. You carry within you, it says, the ability to understand problems and connect to the root cause on a deep level. You're naturally spiritual and find it easy to access the spirit world. You have incredible potential to do good. The world needs you, it said. I think they probably always write these results very positively to motivate the reader to take more tests and to stay on their webpage, is what I concluded. Because the longer you're on their webpage, the more money they make. But what is true about this is that we all have special gifts and talents given to us by God, and we're all unique within that combination of gifts and talents, too. We can't all be, though, healers or wise shepherds or be Popeye, even. But some of us really do have a special gift for languages, a special gift for understanding communication better than others. And so God makes us a community where we appreciate each other's gifts, and we work together to combine them to make a meaningful impact on the world together. So what exactly is a spiritual gift? In this passage it reads, "To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." And it says God activates them all in everyone. So each one of us has spiritual gifts given to us to help people for the common good. But they must be activated. And so think about it. What is yours? The spiritual gift options that it lists in today's passage have to do with enjoying acquiring wisdom, enjoying sharing knowledge, having faith, promoting healing, being a prophet, discernment of spirits, being able to discern, you know, right and wrong, speaking various languages and understanding languages. Basically, anything that promotes the kingdom of God could be called a spiritual gift. And if the kingdom of God, as we think of it like this, as a kingdom of peace, love, forgiveness, and working in harmony with one another, then any gift that enables such a community to form and promote God's work in the world is a spiritual gift. But notice these gifts are not talents that are developed for self-aggrandizement. They do not include the American Idol type of talents, which are more for entertaining and self-promotion. Spiritual gifts are abilities that build up God's ministries of healing and wholeness. And so, for instance, just keeping people connected, say by phone calling and checking on people on behalf of the church, is a caring message that can be very healing and build up the kingdom of God and keep us whole. So often on a day like today, when we have new officers being installed, we sing songs like "Blessed Be the Tie That Binds Our Hearts in Christian Love." Now, one of the verses in that song says, "The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above." And then the hymn emphasizes how together our minds become more like the mind of God. And then the hymn carries on with, "We share our mutual woes, our mutual burdens bear, and often for each other flows the sympathizing ear." Isn't that beautiful? I think right now my sympathizing ear, my earring might be hitting this, so I'm going to take it off. But that hymn really does capture what it means to combine our spiritual gifts together and use them to build up the church. Because we are all created for community, and we are meant to share our spiritual gifts with one another, to strengthen each other's faith, to support each other during mutual times of lows and highs on the journey of life. And gifts that are manifestations of the Spirit, according to this passage, really helps us all gain in wisdom, all be healed together, all have a stronger faith together, all gain in knowledge and even an idea of what may be the best future, say, for the church. That's the prophecy part. When it comes to discernment, together we can discern what the right things to do are, what the right path is to take into the future. And speaking and understanding other languages can really mean just working on our communication with each other. Yesterday when we were at the training retreat, we talked about how important communication is in the church and how important it is to share with one another things that are going on and help each other bond together that way. And so that's what all of these kinds of gifts are about when we're working together. But an interesting spiritual gift that I just learned about that I wanted to share with you comes from a book called Leading from Within, Reflections on Spirituality and Leadership. And this book is from Parker Palmer. And in it, he talks about other kinds of spiritual gifts that are not listed in this one passage. He talks about a different kind of spiritual gift. And the one that he emphasizes is the knowledge that death is natural and that death is not the final word. He says the spiritual gift is to know that allowing something to die is also allowing new life to emerge. And that's the core spiritual insight that can move us beyond our denial of death. And it is true that the fear of death or the denial of death really does make people in our society and in the world feel more anxious every day. But if you can accept death, if you can accept the idea that someday you will pass, then you go through life actually more peacefully and more able to just deal with it day by day. He talks about the advantages of being prepared for death and for accepting it well. And a great example of this in our congregation is Evelyn Radnich. Evelyn isn't with us today, but she's 99 now. And when she was 98, she had me come and develop her memorial service with her and go through what she was hoping it would be like and trying to make it not so much of a burden for her family to try to pick hymns or scriptures. So we already have her memorial planned, basically, because she just wanted to get that done ahead of time and reassure her family they don't have to worry about it. So things like that make it more peaceful for her family, I think, too, even though they're like, oh, we hate to think about you passing. They still, I think, are able to appreciate each day now that she's still alive. Another spiritual gift that the Apostle Paul exhibited was his ability to suffer and endure. Now, that may sound weird to think that's a spiritual gift, but in 2 Corinthians 6, Paul talks about the things he and his mission companion suffered in this way. He says, we experienced afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, and hunger. And yet we endured and proclaimed that now is the day of salvation. And so he goes on to say, we were treated as imposters, and yet we knew we were true. We were treated as if we were unknown, and yet we knew we were well known. We were treated as if we were dying, and see, we are still alive. We were punished and yet not killed. We were sorrowful and yet always rejoicing. We were poor and yet we were made rich in the Spirit. And we were feeling as if we had nothing, and yet we possessed everything. So what is the everything that Paul possessed? What allowed him to rejoice in the midst of terrible suffering? It was the spiritual gift of God's grace and faithful trust that nothing could separate them from the love of God, no matter what happened to them. Now, the gifts of the Spirit are all to be manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And without an awareness, though, or sense of presence of the Holy Spirit activating them, these gifts really do just lie dormant. They're kind of meaningless unless you connect intentionally with the Holy Spirit and then use these gifts for the benefit of building up the kingdom of God. But if the foundation to these gifts is based on the Holy Spirit, they are powerful gifts to have also. So yesterday we had a retreat and an officer training at Westminster Woods for the new and veteran officers of the church. And we had a great time together, and we envisioned where the church can grow into the future and shared some ideas of how we can all help that happen. And I'm very thankful to Chris, who's preaching today at another church, for offering Westminster. Oh, there he is. Oh, I thought you were gone. You tricked me. You're sitting there. He always sits over here. Throw me off. So Chris is here, and we are so thankful to Chris. He has just such a gift of directing that camp out there, and it's always in such great shape. And even in the rain yesterday, we really enjoyed it. And the lunch was amazing. So if you ever get a chance to get out to Westminster Woods for a retreat or work out with Chris away to spend a day out there, it's so wonderful and very healing and peace-giving just to be among those amazing redwoods and right by that wonderful creek with the salmon coming up it. So thank you, Chris. So when a congregation is willing to take time to identify and use their spiritual gifts for the benefit of the church, it does become more vital and it grows. And church leadership's research has identified 5 reasons why churches fail. And a lot of these reasons are linked to the way that people are not using their gifts for the benefit of the church. The first one, of course, is conflict, often caused by gossip and a breach of confidentiality in the church. The second reason churches fail is hypocritical and judgmental attitudes towards outsiders, especially. And then a lack of welcoming hospitality and no effort to create easy ways for people to feel connected and easy ways to share their gifts and get involved in the church. And then not dealing with conflicts in the church that cause dissension. And then not preaching and teaching from the Bible is the 5th one. But I would add another reason why churches fail, and that is because church members in some churches really are not encouraged to really share their gifts as leaders for the benefit of the church. They just want the pastor to do it all and to keep the church maintained and not even be creative about ways to grow. You all are vitally important for the future of this church. And we all are vitally important to each other for the future. So we are all important to each other for our futures together too. The Apostle Paul taught us to be grateful for the gifts that God has given to the church, even with its frailties and flaws. This church is so rich in blessings, not because of the accomplishments of the individual people, but because that God has enriched and sustained us together as a church family. You all have been called to build up the church, as each of us has a role in building up the kingdom of God. So despite our flaws, we are blessed with the task to enrich the church with the spiritual gifts we have been given. Paul in Romans shares a formula for how to be a successful church. He says, "Let love be genuine, hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal, but be ardent in spirit in serving the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. and contribute to the needs of the saints and extend hospitality to strangers. So despite being imperfect, which we all are, God's grace is with us. And so may we carry on and do all we can using our spiritual gifts to transform this Church of the Roses into the church God hopes we will be, especially in 2019. And so now I'd like to call the new church officers and the veteran church officers that are still in active service to come forward. These folks are willing to help lead our church at this time in history. And I know God is grateful for their faithful devotion and willingness to use their gifts and talents to further God's work here at the Church of the Roses.